Only if you could do it at the end. But you can fight it. Mm-hmm. All right. First one was pistol sweep.
It's so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know the Savior Lord. Jesus, how I trust Him, how I prove Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust His cleansing blood, just in simple faith to plunge me beneath the healing cleansing flood. Jesus, how I trust Him, how I prove Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for faith to trust Him more. Yes, it's sweet to trust in Jesus, just from sin Himself to cease. Just from Jesus simply taking life and rest and joy and peace. Jesus, how I trust Him, how I prove Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. I'm so glad I learned to trust Thee, precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that Thou art with me, will be with me till the end. Jesus, how I trust Him, how I prove Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, precious Jesus, all for grace to trust Him more.
Okay, next one is 363. I don't know if it's in the room, but leaning on the everlasting arms.
What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace of mind, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all unknown. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how sweet to walk in this pilgrim way, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how bright the path grows from day to day, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning on the everlasting arms. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms. I have blessed peace with my Lord so near. Leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms.
Amen. Greetings, brothers and sisters. God bless you, see you all. Thank you, Brother Nick and Sister Fran, for the music and the singing. Please join me on bended knee if you can, as we give thanks to the Lord for his holy day and for these sacred hours. Heavenly Father, Father, we just thank you for this day. Thank you for these sacred hours in which you give us. Lord, we thank you for your Sabbath. Father, as we come to your word, as we go to your holy book, and we understand this covenant, and we give you praise for this promise, this better promise that you've given us. Father, we pray that you may open our hearts, open all our minds, that we may have clear understanding to what you have given us in your precious Son. Father, we lift up everyone here in this ministry and their prayers, and we offer them up to you, and we leave all things in your hands. We love you, we praise you, and we shall glorify you in all that we do. Right on my tongue as I speak, and only you are glorified. In Jesus Christ's name we pray all things. Amen. Amen. Okay, as you see, the title here today is The Better Promise. And it's a little bit lengthy. It might exceed more than half an hour, so bear with me. So let's get started. All right, so the first thing we see here in this room here is at freedictionary.com. We'll see it define the covenant as such. What is this? Well, notice as you look through it, it says a binding agreement. You also see a formal sealed agreement or a contract. Another note, you'll see to promise by or as if by a covenant. So as we go into chapter 19 of the book of Exodus, starting at verse 1, it says, in the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai. So right off the bat, first thing you see, as our Creator led Israel out of their bondage in Egypt, some 3 months later, they now find themselves at the wilderness of Sinai. At verses 3 and verses 4 it says, and Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. What we now see is the Lord calling Moses up to commune with him, and that he was going to speak his law to Israel. Now pay attention to this. Make note of this. Notice that prior to speaking his law to the children of Israel, God wanted to make a covenant with them. Remember, we just learned, a covenant is a binding agreement, a contract, or a promise made. Right? So Moses is then summoned to go back to the camp and speak to the children of Israel these words. Okay, we're at number 3 in the room. It's going to be taken from verses 5 and 6 from Exodus chapter 19. It says, now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. For all the earth is mine. Verse 6, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. So now Moses goes and speaks to the children of Israel those words of the Lord that the Lord told him to say. Verses 7 and verses 8 says, and Moses came and called for the elders of the people, and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded him. Verse 8. And all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord hath spoken we will do. And Moses returned the words of the Lord, words of the people unto the Lord. Brothers and sisters, here is our mutual contract between two parties. The children of Israel all answered together and said, all that the Lord hath spoken we will do. Moses now returns these words unto the Lord. Our Lord declared to the people that if they obeyed his voice, they were going to be blessed above all peoples. The one thing that we need to note here is that this was done prior to the Lord speaking his law to the people. So we see the covenant is not the law, but has something to do with the law. It was an agreement between the Lord and his people. Now, what do we know about the law? We know the law was always perfect, it was always good, and amen, it is always holy. Let's take a look at the two verses here. One, let me take it from Psalms 19, verse 7. The second, we're going to take from Romans chapter 7, verse 12. Psalms 19, 7 says, the law of the Lord is perfect, amen, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Romans 7:12 says, wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just, and good. Nothing wrong with God's law, right? Amen? After the agreement between the people, after this agreement between the people sometime after, God spoke the law and wrote them with his very finger on two tables of stone. And we'll see that as we go further along. Moses then pens it in a book and reiterates it to the children of Israel. Now, we're in Exodus chapter 24. We're going to read from verses 4 through 7. And we're at 7 in the room. It says, and Moses wrote all the words of the Lord, and rose up early in the morning, and builded an altar under the hill, and 12 pillars, according to the 12 tribes of Israel. And he sent young men of the children of Israel, which offered burnt offerings, and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen unto the Lord. And Moses took half the blood, and put it in basins, and half of the blood he sprinkled on the altar. And he took the book of the covenant, and read in the audience of the people, and they said, all that the Lord hath said, we will do, and be obedient. We see the audience of the people repeat, all that the Lord hath said, we will do, and be obedient. Right? That was Exodus 24:7. So, obedience is the key. It still is today. As the story went on, we know that people had a hard time keeping their end of the promise because the flesh was so weak. You know, Brother Nick was touching on this just a while ago and actually last night. It was just about a few weeks which went by, and the Israelites had already broken their covenant with the Creator of the universe. Let's look at Exodus chapter 32, verses 7 and 8, where it says, and the Lord said unto Moses, go, get thee down, for thy people, which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf, and worshipped it, and have sacrificed thereunto, and said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. We see They fell to the sin of worshiping a graven image. They worshiped a beast which was decorated from gold. The flesh of man was so weak that they had already broken their end of the agreement or the contract. The principles of that first contract, or that first covenant, it was do, obey, and live. So when we look at Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 11, we'll see that. It says, "And I gave them my statutes, and showed them my judgments, which if a man do, he shall even live in them." The carnal mind of men could not be obedient. So we see it was not the law that was faulty, but the fault was with the fleshly-minded men.
Yeah. And last night, when we were sharing, Brother Nick was sharing, we got into how the mind of men is so carnal. And you'll begin to see why we are in need of a Savior. Now let's walk over to Hebrews chapter 8 and start with verse 6. Okay, at number 10 it says, Hebrews 8:6, "But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises." Our promises, they're just not that good. We see the new covenant being spoken of as a better covenant. Better than the old covenant. And established on better promises. This should immediately point out to all that it is not the Ten Commandments being spoken of here, but the promise that was made between the children of Israel and the Lord. As we just read, that God's law is perfect. It is holy, it is just, and it is good, right? From Psalm 19:7, and also from Romans 7:12. Clearly, wisdom should speak to us all that something cannot be faulty, and yet be perfect, holy, just, and good, all at the same time. Amen? So, it's not the commandments that was being spoken of here. Hebrews 8:7 says, "For if the first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. Our Lord kept his end of the agreement, but the fault was on the end of the sinful men who could not keep their part." So in a sense, the first covenant was faulty only because of the fallen nature of humanity. It also shows that humanity is hopeless, powerless, and dependent on God. I'm going on to now verse 8. Looking at Hebrews 8:8, it'll point the fault to humanity. It says, for finding fault with them, us, sinful men. He saith, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah." Again, the fault was with men. Is that clear? So we see, so the mercy of the Lord upon all men beheld the giving of a new covenant, just as it was written in Jeremiah 31:31, where it was once declared. Paul makes this statement where he says, "The old was ready to vanish away." Moving a little further down, on verse 13, Hebrews 8:13, this is where it says, "In that he saith, a new covenant he hath made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. Paul also says this in Romans, Romans 3, verse 31. And we're at number 14 in the room, for those that are following. Paul said, do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish. He says we establish the law. In Hebrews 8:13, what is being vanished away here? Here's something that's consistent with all of us that we all know. We've grown to know as we've grown into the Word. We know this. We know that not a jot, not a tittle of the law will ever vanish away. And we know that if you're told to establish it through faith. Does that make sense? Can you establish something that has been vanished away at the same time? Wisdom tells us no. And in Proverbs 2:6 says, the Lord giveth wisdom. So again, we see God's law is perfect. God's law, the Decalogue, which includes the keeping of His Sabbath, the fourth commandment, still stands perfect today and is as valid as it ever was. The old promise, the old covenant, or the old agreement, you know, we learned that what that is already. That is what was fading away in Hebrews 8:13, and not the Ten Commandments. This is a mistake that a lot of our Protestant friends make, okay? Most of our Sunday-keeping brothers, they tend to believe, and they use this verse, right? They tend to believe that the Ten Commandments were vanishing away. They say, hey, there it is right there in Scripture. But a closer look at Scripture and using the method that the Lord gave us on going line upon line, and precept upon precept, there a little, has revealed to us otherwise. The Word has given us the truth by His Spirit. So brothers and sisters, keep them in prayer. For those that kind of get this twisted. Pray for the leaders, actually, that are teaching on this. So what about the better promise? What about this new covenant? In Hebrews, in reading Hebrews chapter 8, verses 6 through 13, which we've read part of, we will see our better promise is now established through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. The old covenant that was established between God and a sinful, carnal-minded people is now established by Jesus Christ and satisfied by the Father on high. Praise God for our Savior. Into His hands He puts each and every one of us. Not left alone to fight the flesh, but now He arranges the new covenant upon His promise. Now anyone who accepts His Son as Lord and Savior will enter His promise. By surrendering all to Jesus, brothers and sisters, you can now be controlled by His Spirit. The promise is now given to spiritual Israel and not the lineage of Abraham. Jesus is the mediator of a better covenant, a better promise. And that's the title of the sermon. It's about Christ. It's about Jesus. The Lord will give blessings to each and every one of us when we walk in obedience to His perfect, holy, and just laws. This is where He will give us His strength in accomplishing His will. Remember, it's His will, not my will. It's what Christ said, you know, in Gethsemane. Not my will, but thy will. We are spiritual Israel, of who is given a better covenant by which we are cleansed from the only, and the only, atoning blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Alright, and number 15. We're going to read from Romans chapter 9, verses 6, 7, and 8. And it says, not as though the word of God hath taken an effect, for they are not all Israel which are Israel, neither, because they are the seed of Abraham, are they all the children. But in Isaac shall thy seed be called, that is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God. But the children of the promise are counted for the seed. Amen. In the bed of promise, we are all cleansed from our transgressions of his law by the blood of Jesus Christ upon the cross of Calvary. When we come humbly before the cross and confess our sins, our Lord pours his grace and mercy upon us. We have an elder brother in Jesus Christ who kept the law for us all. He fulfilled it for us. But we must receive Jesus Christ by faith as our personal Lord and Savior. And this new covenant, which Jesus is the mediator of, is how it is established upon better promises. What is that promise? It promised that through his blood you can be forgiven of all your sins and cleansed from all unrighteousness. It promised that his grace given to all who accept Jesus will be given the Holy Spirit to renew every heart, to be harmony to his law when we come boldly unto the throne of grace. In Hebrews 4:16 it says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. So where is the law of God now written, and what is this better promise? Hebrews chapter 8, verses 10 through 12 says, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins, and their iniquities will I remember no more. How beautiful are those verses. We just read a better promise made by our Savior Jesus Christ. All those I's in Hebrews chapter 8, 10 through 12 just said, Jesus would do it. He would do it. So the very law of God now written on the tables of our hearts will bring forth a new heart condition renewed by the Holy Spirit. This new birth by the Holy Spirit will now allow us to bring on the fruits of the Spirit. We can now walk even as Christ had walked because by his grace, we now have a desire to live in obedience. Again, that's the key. To the law now written upon the tables of our hearts. When God's holy, perfect law was written on stone, it served as an instrument of condemnation and pointed out sin. It taught us what sin is, and it points us to Christ. When the law was only on stone, it served as an instrument condemnation. In reading Romans chapter 8, 1 through 5, it says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of the life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh." And that verse 3 tells us Jesus was one of us. Continuing, it says that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do the mind things of the flesh. But here it is, the key. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Amen. In other words, because we, as people of God who accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, now have the law written on our hearts by the Spirit of God, we are made free from the law of sin and death by walking in His Spirit. It'll bring on that power and victory and perfection. As Christ said, "Be ye perfect." Number 19, in 2 Corinthians 3:9, it says, "For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory." Man struggles in his flesh and in his heart to keep his law. Man will always fail to keep the law by his own. But by the Spirit of the Lord, the righteousness of the law is fulfilled in us who walk after the Spirit. Psalms 119:97 says, "O love I thy law, it is my meditation all the day." We gotta love his law. Perfection is found in it. Can you see why the entire Godhead is needed for your salvation? Each day as we meditate upon his law and his word, the righteousness of his law is being fulfilled in each and every one of us with a renewed heart that walks after the Spirit. Praise the Lord, Jesus is the mediator and the minister in the work of redemption. Praise him. The Holy Spirit is our Savior's representative in this fallen world, is carrying out the divine goal and function of bringing the fallen state and nature of humanity, the power from on high, so that man may repent and find victory from their defiled characters. Accept Jesus as Lord and Savior and become a child of God through the new covenant. Repent and receive the fruits of his saving grace. The regeneration of the new man shows the working of the Holy Spirit and that he is now a partaker of the divine nature. What a promise, brothers and sisters. The word declares to each and every one of us when we come to repentance. And this we're going to take from Hebrews chapter 8, verse 12, in closing. It says, "For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more." As Jesus fulfilled the law for us, and every repentant sinner and believer forgiveness is now guaranteed by the sacrifice of Christ on our behalf. This sacrifice appeases the requirement of the holy law for all repenting children of God. Jesus did this for us, not for himself, but for you and I. If you desire to be his remnant, his elect, then we must humble ourselves as a small child. Realize your dependence on your Heavenly Father. Obedience is what will make you the apple of his eye. Pledge your obedience to him with knowledge you have help in a big brother, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This new covenant is ours through obedience still. The Word has told us to be ye separate, separate from the world. He knows us by the fruits of the Spirit. Jesus is our example. Amen? And he sets the bar to perfection so that we may imitate the example of his perfect life. He has made a promise to us that is guaranteed and set in stone. So let us stand upon the rock of Christ Jesus. So the words of Isaiah 56 will be said of each and every one of us. Even unto them will I give in my house and within my walls a place and a name better than of sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. Praise the Lord, brothers and sisters, to a better promise and to the power from on high. May his name be written in our foreheads. God bless you, and may the Lord continue to bless each and every one of you this Sabbath day. God bless.
Amen. Standing on promises and change the promises.
Standing on the promises of Christ my King, true eternal life is what his praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing. Standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises that cannot fail. When the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living Word of God I shall prevail. Standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing. Standing on the promises of good, my Savior. Standing, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of Christ the Lord. Bound to him eternally by love's strong cord, overcoming daily with the Spirit's sword, standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises I cannot fall. Listening this moment to the Spirit's call. Resting in my Savior as my all and all. Standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing. Standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God.
Okay, if you can kneel for a moment. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for blessing us once again with the changing of the showbread.
Thank you for blessing us with eyes that see and ears that hear. And thank you for blessing us with an opportunity to share the truths we learn on Sabbath day with those that you send our way. Thank you for forgiving us, cleansing us, healing us, and blessing us with the latter rain, so that the signs may follow your people and you are glorified. And thank you for blessing everyone that's on our prayer list. All those we mentioned last night, and Lyle's day that we mentioned earlier. We thank you for all these things, and to the best of our ability, we pray in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.